joined right now by a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is an author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is a co-host of the new podcast, Huddle and Flow. Of course, a very good friend of the program. He is Jim Trotter. Jim, my man, what's going on? How are you, Jim?
I'm great, Romy. How you doing?
Good, good, dude. Good to have you back. Thanks so much for doing this. I want to get into football in a moment, but I do have to ask you. I saw you and Dermoni Dawson hit up Torrey South this week. How did that go for you, and how is that big fella's golf game right about now?
Well, that big fella's golf game is always good, you know, so I always have to rib him a little bit because he gives me a bunch of strokes. That's the only way I can play with him. So when I win, what we do is we always bet. We have a match play bet and a strokes bet, and it's $1 each, so it's not like we're breaking anybody. But the loser always has to pull out two $1 bills, and he has to sign them on that day. So whenever I win and he has to sign it, I'm that guy who goes ahead and takes the picture and posts it on social media to get him, knowing I'm getting my tail kicked 9 out of 10 times, but it's that one time I can have fun with him.
That's fun. Jim Trotter joining us. All right, so Jim, the Falcons breakthrough last night. They actually finish off a win. Let me ask you this. They're 2-1 with Raheem Morris, and they're a Todd Gurley mental mistake away, and the defense, of course, melted down. But they could have been 3-0. There's a history in the league of minority coaches getting hired as interim coaches, and then when the team does not turn it around, that's held against them. What do you make of the job that Morris has done since he took over?
Well, I'll say this, Rome. It bothered me when they fired Dan Quinn and they made Raheem Morris the interim coach, and Arthur Blank, the owner, was asked, does Raheem have a chance to win the head coaching position? And Arthur said, almost, you know, sort of casually, and I believe he was joking, he said, well, if he goes 11-0, he'll be considered. And I just thought that at this time, in this day and age, at the point where we are in the league, where there is such an issue of lack of diversity among head coaches and GMs, to even joke about something like that, I thought was just wrong. And so now Raheem has them playing well right now. You're right. They are a mental blunder for being 3-0 under him. And the sad part is I don't believe that he'll be considered for the head job at this point. And to me, again, that's a travesty. So I think these owners have to be a little more sensitive to where we are in this day and age and what their hiring practices have been, to not joke about things like that and to take it seriously. And if Raheem does go and have a winning record with this team that was winless under Dan Quinn, then I think he should be considered for not only the Falcons job, but any other head coaching opening that becomes available.
We are talking to Jim Trotter. You know, Jim, go back to Sunday night, if you would. You were on your podcast talking about that Seattle-Arizona matchup. I want to pick my spots here because of our time constraints. Sure. But when you look at Kyler Murray, like, he goes head-to-head with Russell Wilson. He comes back from down 13. He gets the win. If you're the Cardinals, how fired up are you by the way he played in that game in prime time in just his second season and on a night when he didn't necessarily have his best stuff initially?
You're extremely excited about it. And go back, look, now he's beaten Seattle. He beat San Francisco in week one when the 49ers were at full strength. So you have to be excited about that. The thing I'll say about this is, look, he's played two primetime games back-to-back now. He played the Cowboys on a Monday night, turned around and played the Seahawks. And I thought the game that was more impressive to me, to be honest, Jim, was the Cowboy game from this standpoint. He clearly did not have his A game as a passer in that game. I think he was 9 of 24 passing for 188 yards, and he was off. I mean, just did not look good as a passer. But as a young player, he had the maturity to say, you know what, I don't have my A game as a passer, but I can still have an impact on this game with my legs. And so he used his feet to pick up first downs, to extend drives, and to have an impact in that way. And that showed me a lot. And then he comes back the following Sunday and does what he did against the Seahawks, where he throws for what I think 388 or something like that, 300 plus yards, nearly 400, three scores, rushes for a score. I just think this is a talented young player, and as Larry Fitzgerald once said to me, you know, he has the ability to be legendary, and I think he's starting to show that. And if I could, real quick on the Cardinals, the thing that impressed me in that game as much as anything was the job that Vance Joseph did, their defensive coordinator. You know, last year he simply did not have the personnel to compete and did what he could. This year he's lost some pieces again, and yet he is still putting that defense in a position to make plays and to get something out of Isaiah Simmons, their first-round pick, who had not been playing much this year because of the struggles in the transition from college to the pros, played only five snaps, but came up with that key interception at the end to set up the game-winning field goal. You know, I think Vance Joseph deserves a lot of credit for what the Cardinals are doing.
I'm glad you said that, and I could not agree more. Chandler Jones is gone. They're still making big plays. Simmons, they put him in a position where he has not played a lot so far, and they're working him in slowly. He makes an enormous play. And the defense, although they gave him numbers, Jim, they got off the field when they had to. Also on your podcast, you were talking to John Schneider, the GM of the Seahawks, and you and he go way back. He was a big Russell Wilson fan back at a time when not everybody was, before they drafted him. What did he see in Russ at that time that made him think that Russ could be special?
Well, he said that he had all the traits that he saw, and you know, when Schneider had worked with other clubs, and he had seen Brett Favre, he had seen Rich Gannon, guys like that, and he said Russell had all those same traits. The only issue was, you know, he wasn't 6 foot. And so when he stood on the table for him, you know, he said, because I asked him, I said, did you think he was going to be this good? I know you thought he was going to be good, but did you think this good? And, you know, he could have said, of course I thought that, which, you know, and had fun with it. But he said, no. He said, I knew he would be a damn good player, but I didn't know that he would be on this sort of Hall of Fame trajectory. And he said, the thing about Russell is that every year he challenges himself to raise his game, to take it to a new place. And John's just like, he's phenomenal in that way. He goes, look, when this guy's done playing, he's probably going to be president, you know, of this country, with the way his mind works and the goals that he sets and those sorts of things. So he just simply saw all the traits, whether you talk about arm strength, whether you talk about leadership, competitiveness, intelligence, all those sorts of things. Russell had it. The only thing he didn't have is the hype that many scouts were looking for at that time. And I have talked to other GMs who have told me now that all of these shorter quarterbacks who are coming into the league who have been taken number one overall, whether it's Kyler Murray, whether it's Baker Mayfield, guys like that, they owe a debt of gratitude to Russell Wilson. Because of how he has played, it has helped make it easier for these other clubs to say, you know what, height should not be an overriding factor when we talk about drafting a quarterback number one or high in the first round.
We are talking to Jim Trotter. All right, Jim, so along those lines, you've got a piece up right now on NFL.com. And it discusses the NFL trade deadline, which is Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You almost never see former first-round quarterbacks dealt while still on their rookie deals. But is there an argument to be made that the Jets should do something with Sam Darnold?
Sure. Now, look, let me preface this by saying, Jim, that I don't believe it's going to happen at the trade deadline. That's not to say it won't happen in the offseason, but not at the trade deadline. But the reality is, I think that Steve Keim, the general manager of the Cardinals, showed us that it's okay to admit that maybe you didn't get it right or maybe there's a better route to go. And I say that because in 2018, they traded up to draft Josh Rosen at number 10. And then that following offseason, they drafted Kyler Murray number one overall and then traded away Josh Rosen after only 1 year. And I asked Steve Keim about that, and I said, have you laid the blueprint and how much pressure was on you when you make that decision? He goes, it was a huge amount of pressure because what you're doing is, potentially, if you're wrong, you've now jeopardized your entire career, not just your job, but your career. And so he said his thinking was, look, you can feel that you have Clyde Drexler on your roster, but if you're watching tape and you see Michael Jordan, you have to draft Michael Jordan, which is what he did with Kyler Murray. Now, why do I say that about Sam Darnold? The Jets are a dumpster fire. We all know that. And they're going to go through an extensive rebuild when they get to the offseason. If they have the number one pick, and right now they're the only team that's winless in the league, but if they have the number one pick and Trevor Lawrence comes out of Clemson, you have to ask yourself, are you better off drafting Trevor Lawrence, having him in the first year of a rookie contract, than you are having Sam Darnold, who will be going into year four and will be in line for an extension after that point, knowing you have to rebuild? And the reality is that you would be in a better position if you believe that Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent to draft Trevor Lawrence and then trade Sam Darnold. Could you do it at the deadline? Sure, but the risk with that is you have to be certain that you're going to have that top pick, or you have to be certain you're going to be high enough and that you like maybe Fields as much as you like Lawrence. So from that standpoint, that's why I say I'm not so sure that Sam Darnold is going to be with the Jets next season. From that standpoint, if the Jets do hold on to the number one pick, my expectation would be that they would draft Lawrence and then move Darnold, get draft capital, and go through the rebuilding process.
I would agree with you. Jim Trotter joining us. All right, so really quickly, Jim, different situations, but a similar question. If you're Washington, should you consider trading Dwayne Haskins?
Absolutely. No question about it. They've already shown us that they don't believe in him by the way they've handled this situation. And the things that have leaked out of that organization about him shows that they don't believe in him. In fact, they've poisoned the waters, I think, and hurt themselves. The issue is, Jim, I don't know that they can take they can find a trade partner at this point. GMs that I've talked to say that right now they would not trade for Dwayne Haskins, right or wrong. So I think what teams will do is just wait it out until the offseason when they believe that Washington will waive Dwayne Haskins, and then they would have an opportunity, if they like him, to go after him then.
He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media, a Hall of Fame voter. And if you have not done so already, you need to pick up his book, Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. Also, the co-host of a new podcast, Huddle and Flow. He is Jim Trotter, covering a lot of ground. My man, you are the best, Jim. I appreciate you. Thanks so much, and always good to have you in the jungle.
No, Romeo, I always appreciate the vine, man. You guys have a good day.
You too, Jim. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Jim Trotter, all class. Great, great journo. 1-800-636-8686.